remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 4. Amen. Appreciate that song. Amen. Saved, saved, saved. I saw the title. Matter of fact, we was to the chorus before I realized that it wasn't a song I had in my mind since Jesus came into my heart was what I thought we was going to be singing there. And it just dawned on me that we was singing a different song. But I like that song, and I'm glad I am saved. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He keeps me saved.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad He sanctifies me. Amen. Don't leave me steeped in the mess that I was in. Amen. And thank God for His blessings of grace, really, His blessings of grace. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 4, and we'll do as we did this morning, read down through verse 1 through 11, focusing on verse number 10 and 11, and really verse number 10 tonight. As I mentioned, the Lord gave me a different thought. There's so much could go into this, to be honest with you, and I don't want to drag it out. I don't want to prolong it, but the thought for tonight, and we'll see where we go from here. I thought I knew where I was going earlier, and it got detoured, amen, with a different thought, but I thank God for that. The Bible says in verse number, hang on, I don't have my microphone on. Let me get everything ready. All right. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when the tempter came, verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Look at verse 10 primarily. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we again thanking you, Lord, for the day and allowing us to be able to come back to the house.
Yes,
of God.
Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the good songs we've enjoyed and for those that got up and participated in the youth choir.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And fund the choir that it'll grow and until continue to learn and sing for thy glory and for thy honor. I pray and ask you to be with those that are sick and afflicted, not with us tonight, that you raise them up. And I pray for Brother Shepherd as he brings the message you've laid upon his heart, speak to our hearts again from this scripture. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. By the way, we do need to always pray that God would help us as we come to the house of God, not just be another service. It be something to speak to us and speak to others and even speak out over the airwaves. Amen. That God would use that. Well, tonight I want to think on verse number 10 and pick back up where I left off this morning about the scripture quoted by our Lord. I want to preach on what I call the defense found in worshiping God only. There is a defense built into that. And so that's what I want to look at and get to tonight if I can. I said to you this morning that we're nearing the end of our study on this temptation of Christ in the wilderness. This is the third round. It is the final round of conflict that is announced in the Scripture and delineated, given out to us in the Scripture. Between Christ and Satan. And we've been looking at this now for this last round for a few sermons. And I've noted how Christ successfully warded off every attempt and rejected every attack that the devil sent his way and would not bow in any way, whether his knee or even his will, to the will of the devil. Amen. He would not submit to the power of sin nor the authority of sin. of sin. And so I'm glad for that. We talked about the proposal made, the audacity of the proposal that the devil made to our Lord. We talked about the splendor of the offer of all that beauty and glamour and glory that was brought before him. And we considered the claim that the devil has, that he holds claim to all these kingdoms of the world. Appears that he at least stated that he had them in his grasp and that he was able to give them to whomsoever that he chose. Well, sometimes the one they think is definitely going to be the one that's going to get that from the devil don't necessarily get it. And so I thought maybe the devil's not totally in as much control as he thinks he is. Amen. And sometimes the Lord might work an upset, might turn things around. I do believe that's, I know it's right. God does put in and take down people in authority. I recognize that He does. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in those positions are godly, but it does mean that they're ordained of God. God put them in there. And so we thank God for that. Well, just this morning we looked at the thought and thought upon how this temptation comes to individuals, saints of God and children of God. We pointed out Christ's rebuke and rejection of the offer of Satan, and saw that the scripture that he quoted, he used it as a shield. That faith in that verse was a shield to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and that he used that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the written Word of God. And so Christ overcame, I said it this morning, in obedience and faith. And I believe those have to go together, obedience and faith, that with that our Lord slew the dragon, you might say. He laid the dragon in the dust, amen. And I want to say right off the bat, I am glad I'm serving a victorious Savior, amen. Our Lord was not defeated on Calvary. He did not succumb to death. He's Lord over death, hell, and the grave, amen. And He submitted Himself to the will of God and surrendered Himself to the point that He was willing to be sacrificed, amen, and die for our sins. But He was not one that His life was taken. He freely laid it down, and I'm glad that so. He is victorious. And in that death on the cross, and even here in this temptation in the wilderness, our Lord showed that the devil is no match for the Lord of glory. Amen. He is the Almighty. I said this some time ago. The devil is mighty, but Jesus is Almighty. Amen. And all power is given unto me, He said, in heaven and in earth. Thank God. And so Jesus has that power. I'm glad we're serving not only a victorious Savior, but I'm glad we're serving a Savior who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. He came forth unscathed, unscarred, unmarked by the devil's attempts. Amen. Now, tonight I want to look briefly, and I don't think I'll be long, at this verse of Scripture that our Lord Jesus used as His defense and His doctrine. And I'm going to use it as both. It is a defense and it is a doctrine. And we'll talk about the doctrine first. I've titled my message, The Defense Found in Worshiping God Only. So notice the text that's quoted. That's my first point. The text quoted in verse number 10, the latter part. He says, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. I touched on that this morning, and we'll go back to that a little bit, that as our Lord used this text to rebuke Satan, He called him by his name, and He commanded him to leave, but He wanted him to carry a verse of Scripture with him as he was going. Right. Our Lord, one writer said it this way, I thought it was pretty good. John Hackett preached during the time of, he was in England, Church of England preacher, during the time of King James, from 1604 to 70 some, that he preached in England. But he said that as that old dog was fleeing, he said Jesus picked up another stone of Scripture and flung it at that old dog. I said, amen. I like that. You say, well, I don't know if that's good or not. Well, David took a stone, a little rock, and flung it at the giant. Amen. And I believe that could be symbolic of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God that you hide in your heart, He had it in His bag. It was there ready as a defense and ready as a weapon. Thank God. Amen. But we talked about how that the Lord threw out that scripture there as the devil was leaving. Amen. And our Lord had found, I touched it this morning, I want to say it again because I want to make an issue of it, that our Lord had found that the scriptures had always worked. It worked the first time, it worked the second time. He knew without a doubt it worked the third time. Amen. And so He did not have to revert to using something else. He stayed with the scripture as His sword. Amen. Matter of fact, He had found this sword to be sharper than any other, I might say, two-edged sword. Amen. That this sword was able to do what no other was able to do, thank God. And so our Lord decided that He was going to continue using that. And can I say to you that God in 2019 has not changed His mind about using His Word? Amen. He's still interested in using His Word. He's still using His precious Bible to defeat the devil. Amen. He's still using His precious Bible to inoculate us against the temptations of the flesh and against the sins that the devil tries to lure us into. Amen. God is still using His Bible. God has not reverted to using the theater. Amen. God has not reverted to using fiction. God has not reverted to using even just singing. Amen. God has not reverted to using psychology. He's still using His Word. Amen. He's still using His Word, the King James Bible, and that's because it works. I said this morning, one of the reasons I believe the devil attacks it is because it does work. Well, turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We'll look at the verse that our Lord quoted. I mentioned to you that there's more than one. There's two verses in Deuteronomy that say practically the same thing. And almost every Bible scholar tells you that almost every commentator would tell you that he quoted this one, chapter 6. And a few will say chapter number 10. I believe he used them both. But I want to show you what he said, that these two verses of Scripture, we looked at it this morning, but we're going to go a little further. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 13. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Now turn to chapter 10 and verse 20. Hold your place, chapter 6, because we'll be back. Chapter 10 and verse number 20. Deuteronomy says this, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave, and swear by His name. Amen. Now, notice this morning I touched on the fact that our Lord changed the word fear, found in Deuteronomy, to the word worship. Amen. He changed that word, and by the way, I didn't know this, but I just read it from that same John Hackett said, that in the Septuagint that was translated by the 72, that's why it's called Septuagint, 72 Jewish scholars translated the Old Testament into Greek before the time of Christ, and it was the Greek Bible perhaps even that Christ might have used, but they translated the same way, exact same words that Christ used in Matthew chapter number 4. They changed it from fear to worship. And that's not, it really, in a sense, it's not a change. In the sense of the wording, it's not a change. We think of fear as being afraid of. We think of fear as cringing before. And it does have that element. Thank you. It does have that element to it. Because if you fear somebody, you at least believe that there's a reason to fear them. There's faith that there is some reason to fear them. Well, there is faith that causes us to worship our God, to reverence Him. That's what the word actually means. It's Strong's number 3372 here in Deuteronomy 3372. And it carries the meaning of reverence. It carries the meaning of respect. Amen. It's not that we're afraid of God. It's that we respect God and we want to honor God. We don't want to dishonor God. Amen. In the same vein, wives are to fear their husbands. Not that they should have to fear, but they should respect. Children ought to fear their parents. Amen. Sure they had. They ought to fear. We've got it upside down. Nowadays, parents got to fear their children. If the kid says, I want that soupy, sappy, syrupy, sugary cereal,
Because I seen it on television, Mama, better get it or they're going to pitch a fit. And they're going to embarrass Mama until they get their way. That's the society we're living in. But it ought to be that children fear their parents. Parent says no, children ought to respect that. Amen. You say, I can't get mine too. Well, then work on it a little harder. And you Amen. You ought to be able to get them too. That's right. If you're not waiting too long, but anyway, that's right here in the text. I didn't mean to get off on there, but that's where we are. But he changed the word fear to the word worship. God deserves our respect. God deserves our adoration. And so when we reverence God and we respect God as we ought to, the next word falls in place, and that is the word serve. Him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Because those that you respect, you will serve faithfully. If we respect God as we should, we will bow to His will and we will serve Him. Amen. Showing that proper honor and that proper respect. Amen. Christ's statement here says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and Him only shalt thou serve. I said this morning that I don't believe that that statement was aimed at the devil in the sense of saying, devil, you ought to be worshiping God and you ought to be serving God. Because I believe Christ knew the devil was reprobate. There's no hope for the devil ever worshiping God. He will bow the knee one day, but he's not about to surrender. He may submit. Amen. He may submit and say, all right, I'm doing it, but it's because you're making me do it. But the surrender, he's not going to give up. He's not going to throw up the white flag of surrender, and he's not going to serve God. And so I got to thinking about that. When Christ said that, he was saying, he wasn't saying to the devil, you ought to do it, but he's saying, I'm going to do that. This is the ground I'm standing on. This is my platform. Thou shalt fear or thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's the ground I'm standing on. That's the God I'm worshiping. I'm not going to worship you, devil. I'm not going to serve you, devil. I'm going to worship my God. Now think about this. Just like in the first temptation, in this temptation, Christ is placing himself in the position not as the Son of God, nor as equal with God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He didn't say, I'll have you know I'm a general in the Lord's army. No. He said, I'll tell you where my place is. My place is the place of every man. My place is the place of the average man. My place is, I'm going to worship my God. That's every man's duty. Amen. I'm going to serve my God and Him only. Him only shall I serve. That is my duty. So Christ placed Himself back under the authority of the Scripture, under the authority of the Word of God. Amen. And so He's going right back to that where He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, I'm a man. I'm going to obey God. That's the God I'm going to worship. That's the God I'm going to serve. Amen. And let me go ahead. I don't have my notes. Let me go back here to Deuteronomy chapter 6. One quick thing I said I was going to point out something. Notice that in Deuteronomy 6 or 10, the word only is not in there. Chapter 6, verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. The word only is not there. And shalt swear by His name. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and Him shalt thou serve. The word only is not in there. But this phrase is, and to Him shalt thou cleave. That sort of makes you remember about the marriage vow, doesn't it? I said something about the marriage vow earlier. Right. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. You think that cleaving involves a bunch of others? Or is that her only? Right? We understand that. We understand it very well. We're not Mormons and we're not Muslims. We're not polygamists. Amen. We understand that cleaving to your wife means her only. We understand cleaving to your husband means him only. Right? And so we understand that it is there in Deuteronomy 10, 20. It is there that he's saying you cleave to Him, you hang on to Him, you turn loose. By the way, to cleave to one, you got to turn loose of all the others. Right. Amen. But here I want you to notice in chapter 6, Deuteronomy, if you'll continue on reading, Let's go back to verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and thou shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods. There it is. Of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Amen. So he said, your God's a jealous God. You're supposed to serve Him. You're supposed to cleave to Him. You're supposed to worship Him, fear Him. He said, and Him only. Amen. You don't go bowing to other gods. Amen. Amen. Well, can I say to you that our Lord took that as His doctrine? That was the doctrine that He stood on. And I believe we can see it. That's what He based His life on. Turn to John chapter number 8. I know you know these verses, but we'll look at them. John chapter number 8 and verse 28 and 29. Our Lord speaking of Himself, testifying of Himself. John chapter number 8 and verse number 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Amen. Our Lord said, I do always those things that please Him. He always did that which pleased the Father. That was His doctrine. I'm going to worship Him only. I'm going to serve Him only. Amen. Matthew chapter number 26. Our Lord's making that high priestly prayer in the garden. Matthew records just a few of the words. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39. Again, well known, but you can do as good to see it. Verse number 39, and He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You see there? I'm going to serve You. I'm going to do Your will. All right, verse number 40. And He cometh unto His disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me except I drink it, look at this, Thy will be done. He's saying right there, this is My doctrine. I've got one God. He's the one I'm going to worship. I've got one God. He's the one I'm going to serve. Amen. Making that very plain. Amen. Now, one other place. Turn, if you will, over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Quotes Psalm chapter 40, and we'll read the Hebrew quote. We'll just look at it there. Hebrews tells us that the psalmist is not speaking of himself, but he's speaking of the Lord Jesus. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 through 7. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared Me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of Me to do Thy will, O God. So He said, I have come to do Thy will, O God. That is, those are the words of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Those are His words. In the volume of the book is written to me, the whole Bible is about Jesus. That's what it's saying there. But the idea is that our Lord laid down this as His doctrine. His doctrine was He's going to serve God. That's the only God He's going to serve. He's going to be about His Father's business. Nobody going to deviate Him from that. He's not even going to let His mother push Him to do a miracle before His time. He'll say, hey, woman, My time has not yet come. He'll wait till the Father says it's time. Amen. You say, why is that important? Because there are some people that teach and preach that the mother has sway over our Lord. That's why they pray to her, that she has sway to get Him to do what others can't get Him to do. No, she does not have sway over our Lord. Amen. He's not going to allow anybody to lead Him contrary to the Father. He must be about His Father's business. Now, think with me just a moment on this thing about this verse, this text quoted. the answer that our Lord gave. You think how that must have repulsed the devil. Because he has just met a man who is diametrically opposed to everything he stands for. When the devil faces me and you, he can find some friendship. Amen. He might find something we agree on. He might find some kinship when he speaks to a man or a woman. But he don't find that in the Lord Jesus. He does not find one thing they can agree on. And our Lord has just drew the line and said, listen, you're on that side, I'm on this side. Stay on that side. I'm not coming over on that side. Amen. He's staying in the will of God. It repulsed the devil. On one side of the equation, we see the Son, who refuses to do anything but be obedient. Amen. On the other side, he refuses to do anything but be obedient. On the other side is the serpent, who refuses in any way to be obedient. He's not going to obey one thing. Our Lord's not going to disobey one thing. One has chosen to stand for the will of God. One has chosen to stand for the work of redemption. While on the other side, the other is chosen against. He's chosen to oppose the will of God. He's chosen to oppose the work of redemption. Amen. Thus the line has been distinctly drawn between these two adversaries. There can be no truce. There can be no agreement. War has been declared. Amen. You hear the phrase, they've thrown down the gauntlet. Amen. War has now been declared. So that's the way that we ought to approach these things. I'm talking about our doctrine. We ought to recognize there's a line that's been drawn between us and evil. That line is our Bible. Amen. The Word of God, the plumb line that has been drawn between us and evil. We're not to cross that line. Amen. We're not to cross that line whatsoever. We approach it that way. We have a line that distinctly draws where we are going to stand.
Right.
Amen. If this is our doctrine, as it was our Lord's doctrine, then we better get ready to face the battle. Because the devil and his imps are going to declare war. Amen. We're going to be at enmity with Satan and all of his forces. Amen. But we will align ourselves with God and all of His forces. Thank God. Amen. Now notice this commandment that our Lord gave. When back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. It entails two parts, both worship and service. Worship, I believe, would be the internal submission, the reverence that you give to God. He deserves our service. Right? The worship would be that internal submission that comes with reverence. While service would be that external submission that comes forth as obedience. Amen. Since we believe He is worthy, then we're going to obey what He says. You see that? That's the idea there. Now, think about it. Well, let me go back. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, I read, this was alluded to, and I went back and looked at it. You know, I read, who knows how many times I've read Genesis 4 and missed this. Talks about Abel and his offering. And I want you to look at it. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 4. You know, there's the problem between Cain and Abel, and it arises from this. But look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect. And here's the part I didn't notice. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Not just the Lord had respect for his offering. The Lord had respect for him. You know why? Because if all he'd done was brought his offering and he himself had not bowed in reverence to God, if it was just ritual to him, as I think it was to Cain, Cain had brought an offering before, but Cain was not bowing to the will of God. So God didn't respect Cain, and God didn't respect his offering. The offering was bloodless, amen, but the respect was not really there in Cain's case. It was ritual. All it was ritual. He was not really bowing, amen. He's like the little boy I heard said, the mama's driving down the road. She said, he's standing up in the back seat. She said, sit down. He said, I don't want to. She slammed on the brakes. He hit his face against the back of the front seat, but blooded his lip. Sit down on the seat. She said, are you sitting down now? He said, yeah, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. My needed, well, I won't say it. Somebody think I'm being literal. But that submission that says, I'm doing it in the flesh. I'm doing it outwardly, but I'm not doing it inwardly. God does not have respect for that. There's no respect for that. God's looking for the worship and the service. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. That's the inward and the outward. I believe it's all the way around. Matter of fact, I believe our Lord's talking about there in John chapter 4 when He's talking to that Samaritan woman. She's just threw up a doctrinal question. Should we worship at Jerusalem like the Jews say? Or should we worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans say we ought to worship? And our Lord said, you worship you know not what. And by the way, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't know what they was doing. And He said, but the time cometh when ye shall, true worshipers shall worship God. And it's both these, in spirit and in truth. In the right place, Jerusalem, but also in the right way, not through the sacrifices and the ritual, but through reality. They're going to see the shadows will be gone because the substance, the Savior, has come. Amen. And so He's saying they worship Him in spirit and truth. Our God is looking for that dichotomy. God's looking for those two to go together. That idea that He respected Abel and He respected Abel's offering. Because Abel was right, that meant his offering was right. Amen. Or you might say it the other way around. Because his offering was right, it made Abel right. Amen. That's how the Lord works in our case. Well, but Abel brought the right offering because he was obeying God. Why was he obeying God? Because he respected God. Amen. Him only shalt thou serve. I put this note. Service will be lacking or lukewarm when worship is lacking or lukewarm. I believe that's right. I'll say it again because I think it's important. Service will be lacking or lukewarm when worship is lacking or lukewarm. Worship's not necessarily lifting your hands. That's praise that comes from worship. Worship takes place on the inside where nobody else sees but God. Amen. It's when your heart's lifting up hands. Amen. When you're lifting up your hands, if your heart's not lifting up hands, there's no good in it. Amen. But the idea here is that worship takes place on the inside. And when we let our worship, again, I'm not saying the praise. I believe praise will follow. And we're a long ways away from where we ought to be in praise and in worship. But when we will honor God like we ought to, we'll have no problem serving God like we ought to. But when we get lukewarm in our worship, we will get lukewarm in our service. True service is impossible without correct worship. Amen. I believe that's right. If you don't respect them, you're not going to work for them like you ought to. Amen. So that was the text quoted. Number two, I want you to notice the truth qualified. Moving from the doctrine to the defense. You see what happens here. He says again in verse 10, it is written, that last phrase of verse 10, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. That only that is in there, that's doctrinally in there, as I said, you find it really in both texts, but primarily the verse after in chapter 6, verse 13 is the verse. Verse 14 is the following, where He says, turn your back on all those other gods. You see, there is the only there. That only is a defense. It inoculates us from other things. Amen. It inoculates us from, if we're going to walk only in the will of God, we don't have to worry about even finding out what's the will of man. Who cares what the will of man is?
Right.
Amen. That's why the Bible talks about not fearing man. Amen. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But not fearing man, if you fear God like you ought to. Now that's not saying that we don't obey the laws of the land. That's not saying that we don't honor those in authority above us. But it's saying there's one above all them. Amen. Amen. None of those are the supreme authority. There is a supreme authority above all them. And so if we do like Christ said, I'm going to walk only in the will of God, that means He is not going to walk in the will of the devil. Amen. And so if we'll do that, that's exactly how we'll be. If we'll say, I'm going to serve God, if we'll make up our mind, and that's where we go, going to serve God, going to walk in the will of God, won't walk in the will of Satan. Once the die has been cast towards God and His worship, all other gods are gone. Amen. The decision has been made who we're going to serve. We don't have to wonder about it. And we can see that several places in the Bible. Let me just turn and show you some. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua was preaching from the other Sunday night. Joshua chapter number 24. You know that famous verse number 15. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Well, if you've already made your choice to follow God, that choice is made for you.
Right.
Amen. Look at verse number 14. We'll back up there and read verse 14. And I want to read down through verse 24 because I want you to see how Joshua restricts it. Verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served. There's the only part. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods of your father, or gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Now hang on a minute. God forbid that we should leave serving our God to go serve these other gods. That was not what they ever intended on doing. They intended on hanging on to their God and taking Him down with them to serve these other gods. And Joshua's going to let them know that ain't happening. God's not going to submit to those other gods. Amen. All right, let me read on verse 16. Let me find it again. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods, or to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord. Also. Now, I think they're saying, just like you, we're going to serve Him. But also, I think you got the idea, we can serve Him too. For He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. For He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And we could say, only. Amen. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, here's what he said. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. Isn't that amazing? They're saying, we're going to serve God. And they've got these other gods already in their possession. Apparently they brought some of them up out of Egypt. You say, how could they think they're going to the promised land and bringing strange gods with them all the way up to the promised land? Just like Rachel thought the same thing. Rachel stole her father's God. She's headed to the promised land. She's married to Jacob now. She's going to be an Israelite. But she's bringing her father's gods with her along the way. I'm afraid a whole lot of people have that idea. We're going to serve God, but we got all these too. And he said, all right, if you're going to serve God, you have to serve Him only. You have to put away those other gods that you brought up with you. Amen. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. Amen. Joshua was adamant that the Israelites could not serve God and idols at the same time. He was adamant. You can't serve the gods of the Philistines. You can't serve the gods of the Amorites. You can't serve the gods of the Canaanites, those whom you dwell among. You can't serve the gods of the past, the gods of your fathers, the gods of Egypt. You cannot serve God and those idols at the same time. He said you're going to have to make a choice between the two because they are diametrically opposed to one another. It goes right back to Baal. Brother Steve, teaching in Sunday school, Elijah, how long halt you between two opinions? They didn't think this halted between two opinions. They're serving God and Baal, they thought. He said, no, they're diametrically opposed. And you're going to have to make up your mind which one is God. And which one are you going to reverence? And which one are you going to serve? Because you can't serve both. Our Lord said it very plainly. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters.
Right.
Amen. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's what he said. So Joshua said, I've made up my mind. So when Joshua goes into the Canaan land and hears all these other gods, does he have to say, now what am I going to do with that? Am I going to honor that God or am I going to smash it? He said, that choice was made for me back in chapter 24, verse 16. Yeah. Amen. Chapter 15, verse 15. That decision was already made for me. I don't have to contemplate it now. I don't have to be tempted by it now. The decision is already made. And so that doctrine became his defense, as it was with our Lord. Amen. Here's another one in Daniel. Daniel and his companions. Turn to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel and his companions have been captured and taken to Babylon. You know the story. I'm sure you know it well. There's two stories in this and two instances I want to bring out. Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Daniel, when the king brought forth his meat and his wine that he drank, Daniel didn't have to contemplate and decide which way he was going. The decision had already been made. If I could say it this way, long before Mr. Warren wrote the book on the purpose-driven life, Daniel was living the purpose-driven life. Daniel had purposed in his heart, verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen. He's carried away captivity, but it doesn't matter what everybody else does. It doesn't matter how long they've been doing it. Daniel says, I'm not doing it because the decision's already been made. This is my doctrine, and this is my defense. Amen. Then in chapter number 6, and let's see here. You know, the king set up that idol of gold. Yeah. Daniel chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17. I wrote the wrong thing down here, but I'll get it. There we go. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18. Then the king commanded, and they brought... No, that's not where I'm wanting to go. Look at chapter 3. Let's see if that's right. Chapter 3. That was Daniel and lions then. We know that's true too. Yeah, here we are. Chapter 3 and verse number 16. Yeah, 3:16. That's a good verse, ain't it? Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know why? Because their decision had already been made. How was their decision made? Their decision was made because they already had a doctrine.
Right.
Amen. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, I like that.
Amen.
He will deliver us, but if not, amen. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. They had a doctrine. That doctrine became their defense.
Amen.
One more statement I'll make and I'm moving on. You remember when they took the Ark of God, the Philistines captured the Ark of God in Samuel? They took it out there and set that ark beside their god Dagon in the temple of Dagon. And I don't know. Here's a question in my mind. Were they thinking God's going to pay homage to their god Dagon? I think probably. Because they're thinking Dagon gave us this great victory. Matter of fact, that's what they bragged about when Samson got killed. Our god Dagon. Dagon did all this. The gods of the Philistines did all this. Perhaps they're saying we're going to worship this ark and our god Dagon. But God wasn't having any of that. When they came in the next morning, Dagon's fallen over and his hands are cut off and his head's off, right? And the idea that I believe in that, first of all, is this. They found him fell over on his face just the way they had fell over before Dagon. Dagon fell over before God.
Right.
Amen. The way they should have fallen over before God, Dagon fell over before God. Amen.
Right.
But the hands they lifted to Dagon, Dagon lost his hands.
That's right.
Amen. The head they used, the voice they used to praise their Dagon, Dagon lost his head. He never had a voice.
Amen.
Amen. But here, God's saying, I'm not going to have any other gods beside me. Now that goes all the way back, I mean all through history, all the Bible we read that, God said it to the Israelites. But He says that in 2019 to me and you.
Amen.
We've got to be careful. The devil will do his best to bring in another god. The devil will do his best to get something else to get our worship, get our praise. Amen. Get us to serve that rather than serving God. Well, our Lord said, paraphrasing, He said, I've got a doctrine. The doctrine is I'm going to serve God and Him only shall I serve. I'm going to worship God and Him only shall I serve. And that doctrine became His defense. It can be yours and mine as well. Amen. The days may come when they say, you got to bow to whatever. Listen, we're not far from them saying, you got to bow to the president, the leader of our country. The Romans did that. Their Caesars became their gods. Had to bow to Caesar. They had to proclaim him as Lord. And we're not far from that. They're saying, you can't say anything against them. You can't speak against them. Everybody's got to be in line. Freedom of speech just means you're free to say what we want you to say. That's what they're saying now. Sad that we've come to that day. And it's not just in America. It's all across the world. And I think we're getting ready for one man that's soon to step out on the scene. And he's going to demand worship and he's going to get it. They're going to bow to him. They're going to submit to him. They're going to take his mark. Amen. But we have a defense if we'll say, as our Lord did, this is my doctrine. I've got one God. And that's the only God I'm going to worship. And that's the only God I'm going to serve. Amen. I said this morning about Islam. If Islam has their way in America, we'll be under Sharia law. We'll be bowing to their gods. Their false gods. Their false prophets. That's what they'd have us bow. But we can have this defense. It may cost us our head. But we can have the same defense our Lord had. I've got one God and that's the only God I'm going to worship. Amen. I've got one God, that's the only God I'm going to serve. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, you think about this. This doctrine of Christ can be your doctrine, and it can be your defense. It can be my doctrine, it can be my defense. Christ has shown us the way to victory. He showed it to us by His own life, by His own example. And He showed it to us in His words. Here's what He said in Matthew 6:33, very familiar, but He said this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I recognize He's talking about all these material things that people get so caught up about. But you think about it this way. If you'll seek God and Him first and His kingdom first, all these other decisions will already be made for you.
Right.
If you'll just seek Him. If your eye will be single, that's what He talked about in those texts as He's looking at there. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I wonder, do you need to come pray? If you do, I want to give you that opportunity. Call on the Lord. If you're here and unsaved, would you call on the Lord for salvation? If you're here and you are saved, you need to submit to God. Maybe you need to ask God to search you and to purge you and to help you in this submitting to the will of God, recognizing His great high authority, His great high respect that's an honor that's due unto Him. If you'll show Him that, you'll serve Him right. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth that we looked at this morning and this evening. Lord, would You help us that we might aspire to it, or that we might attain to it. We would say, as our Lord said, there's only one God. He's the only one I'm going to worship. He's the only one I'm going to serve. Lord, help sinners to come to Christ. Saints to be determined. Jesus to get the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing while we sing. If you need to come, would you come?